Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Talent Builders Radio, broadcasting live from Atlanta. I'm Barb Giamanco, hosting the program, and those of you who listen in regularly know that each month, my guest experts and I talk about topics that are related to helping you grow your business. We talk about everything from masterminding to social media, motivation, hiring the right people, improving communication, powerful presenting, building that business network, and so much more. This morning I'm talking with Jean Franzblau about becoming a power presenter. I'm really excited to share this interview with Jean and have this dialogue with her because I know a lot of people get very nervous when they have to think about public presenting. So as we get started, let me first tell you a little bit about Jean. She's an international public speaker with 9 years of speaking and training experience. She delivers client-specific sessions in administrative assistant training, problem solving, and inspiration. Her groups can range anywhere from 5 to 300 people. Prior to founding her own business, Jean worked as a resident trainer at Arden Realty, a publicly traded commercial real estate firm. There she instructed employees from entry level to executive. And prior to Arden, Jean facilitated stress management programs at Gensler Architecture and Design and at the retreat centers across California. She's had the opportunity to work and consult with industries including nonprofit, entertainment, technology, government, healthcare, recruiting, and more. Jean received her BA with cum laude honors at UCLA in Communications and Business Administration. She's completed the Train the Trainer course with the American Society for Training and Development, though those of us know it as ASTD. As a performing artist, Jean studied at the renowned Neighborhood Playhouse School of Theater in New York, and she's worked in theater, television, voiceover, and film, certainly well qualified to chat about the topic we have at hand today. She's developed her skills with the National Speakers Association and is a 2009 board member for the American Society for Training and Development, home office based in Santa Monica, California. And Jean, it's my pleasure to welcome you to the program.
Thank you so much, Barb. Just listening to the bio coming out of your mouth, I'm feeling very proud right now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, isn't it funny that we often do not have the opportunity to hear other people sort of share our background experience? I know I always feel the same sense of pride when people do that for me. So it's my pleasure to welcome you and have you joining us today. And so
Thank you. First
question for you, first of all, I put this out in Tweetland. So let's hope we're getting some additional users coming out from Twitter land.
Hello, tweeters.
Yeah, hello, tweeters. We hope they're all out there listening to us. So, Jean, why are you so interested in the topic of developing great presentation skills?
It's truly selfish. It's because when I am in the audience and the person speaking hasn't given thought to how they're presenting, it can be really painful for me. I've been to two-day seminars, and in the first 30 minutes, I'm having a feeling like somebody shoot me, because I know that it's going to be one of those seminars where I can't keep my eyes open and where I'm trying to be polite to the presenter by looking as if I'm paying attention, but truly I'm suffering on the inside because I can't stand it another minute.
Yeah.
One time in college at UCLA, I had a professor in an honors course. It was an astronomy course. It was an honors astronomy course. And to me, that is a fascinating topic. And because the presenter didn't think much about how he went about his style of presenting, I was astounded by how boring that astronomy could be. And I thought, there's got to be a better way. So I feel very much a passionate student of it and practicer of presentation skills.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think everybody listening has had that experience where they were eagerly anticipating a presentation, and it really left them falling flat, or things happened that were very distracting. And I don't know about you, Jean, but for me, it's actually painful. Like, I feel pain in my heart for that individual because they're probably not, you know, really having the experience that they wanted to. They're not engaging with the audience, and then leave with not having really created that impression that I believe everybody wants to create when they go up on stage.
I appreciate your compassion. For me, I'm thinking, ouch on my own end. And you're right, though. You're absolutely right. Being a presenter and knowing you're not hitting your mark, which has happened to every presenter, is really painful. There have been times when I've given up. There's one time in particular I was giving a two-day seminar, and the morning of the first day, I just knew I wasn't connecting. And at lunchtime, I put out some panicked calls to some colleagues going, help me. I don't know what's going on, but help. So I really was feeling it.
Yeah, and I think people in the audience, you know, they want people to be successful on stage. I really do believe that. And like you, I've felt that too, where I felt like, oh, my goodness, you really ought to be doing this. You certainly didn't prepare, you know, all that sort of thing. But I also then feel for the person presenting who maybe doesn't even realize, and sadly a lot of people do not realize. They don't even intuitively know when they're not connecting with the audience. So I know you're going to have some tips for us on that. So tell
Absolutely.
Us about some stories of people that you've worked with who have had breakthroughs with their presentation skills.
What I'm trying to do in my seminars, regardless of topic, is include a portion that includes public speaking, because I know that there is a good portion of every group where there are individuals who have a fear of it. And the self-esteem lift that comes from practicing and getting positive reinforcement in a safe environment is so just delightful to witness. So there was a woman at a seminar, and it was a communication skills seminar, so it dovetailed nicely. And as soon as I mentioned that we were going to all present, her face turned red, and she acknowledged that that was the last thing she expected nor wanted to do. When it came time for her to present, I had them presenting to each other in small groups of four. And at the end, I said, is there any particular group who wants to nominate one of their speakers to present in front of the entire group? And this group was pushing her up to go. And so her face again turns red, and she stands up in front of the group, and this is where the magic began. She was talking about her favorite hobby, and she goes, close your eyes for a moment and picture yourself on a pristine, calm lake. There's not a ripple in the water. And she is describing this beautiful, relaxing day, and we're all getting into this meditative state. And then from there she goes, open your eyes now. This is why I love, and then she continues to talk about her hobby. By the time she was done, you couldn't hear, a pin could drop. Not only were we amazed by what she had done, but we were also amazed by the difference between how reticent she was to speak and her gift for doing so. It was delightful, and we gave her copious amounts of applause. In fact, there was a spontaneous standing ovation, and the face turned red again, and we all just had to give her the reinforcement that this is something you're truly meant to do, and no matter how uncomfortable it is for you, feel what you're feeling right now, and look at all of us, and please see that you have affected us. Talk about inspiration,
Yeah, and I imagine she walked away from that feeling a level of, I don't know, happiness and gratitude and joy and just knowing that you really had this opportunity to impact people, which you probably didn't even realize. So that leads me to actually wonder, why do you think seeing people get so nervous with the thought of having to present in front of others, whether it's a small group or a large group?
I think it has to do with that people feel like they're being examined, that they're being picked apart. That every eye, and so if there's 50 people, that means there's 100 eyeballs, staring at them and looking for errors or problems, or mistakes, and looking with glee for what might be wrong with the person or how they look or how they're standing or how they're presenting. And I think what can be comforting for many newer speakers is that people are generally pretty self-involved. That people mostly are thinking about themselves, and what they really want to know is, what's in it for me? What can I benefit from in this talk? And so what can I think put many speakers at ease, and it helps me myself, is to set an intention for what I am there to give. So rather than being absorbed in my own thinking about, oh, they're looking at me, the thought is, how can I be of service to this group? And regardless of whether it's, I put a call out to my higher power, getting spiritual, that's just my thing, or whether it's simply I'm putting out an intention. My intention is, please, let me be of service here, and let the words that come out of my mouth hit each person in the way that is helpful for them during this session. Whatever that looks like, let it be so. by saying whatever
great.
That looks like.
Yeah, thank I think
you.
That's
when,
so
when
great.
I say, thank you. Whenever I say whatever that looks like, let it be so, it allows there to be spontaneity. And it allows that whatever mistake I think I'm making, that perhaps it was the perfect thing that was needed from the group. And I just have a certain amount of space that I put out there. Like, you know what, whatever happens is right because I just set the intention in the beginning.
And I think that's absolutely right on. I know I am, you know, in the early years, same thing as what you were describing. Oh, it was more about me. You know, I wanted to deliver great value, and let's face it, I also wanted to look good in front of the audience. And then and realizing, you know, as I grew with experience and, you know, in time and all that, I started realizing, you know, really the truth of it is my job is to do the best possible job I can for people in the audience, and whatever happens is exactly what's meant to, and so I'm so glad you reinforced that. So what are some other tips, then, that you have for folks?
Okay.
So that's what kind of like getting them in the mindset.
Yes.
And really saying, hey, I'm there to really do the best I can, and whatever comes out is what's supposed to be there. What are some other things people can do?
Okay, one of them is that if you are feeling vulnerable for many groups, it can be appropriate to acknowledge your nervousness, to say, oh, boy, everybody, my hands are shaking. I'm so nervous, you know, to be in front of you today. What that does for most groups is it puts everybody at ease. It says to the audience, I'm a human being, and that allows the audience to feel like we're allowed to be human too. And you can almost visibly see them relax in their chairs. And if there's a question and answer session, these are the ones who are going to be more apt to feel comfortable asking a question because you modeled being vulnerable. You said, I'm not perfect. Now, for everyone listening, I will recommend to you, you know the culture of who you're speaking to. And so if that doesn't feel safe, then use your best judgment. In many cases, it's absolutely the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead. You have another tip for us?
I was going to share another tip. Another one is to tell a relevant story. So that, you know, before I go into that, I wanted to hear what you were going to say because that is another topic.
Well, actually, what's really kind of funny about that is I was going to share a story about how I told a story because I was nervous. When I my very, very first time in front of an audience when I was with Microsoft, I mean, I was there barely a week. I was still in Phoenix, and my boss says, hey, we're having this big thing. About 100 customers are coming in, and we'd like you to do presentation on, you know, parts of the new version of Office. And I said, okay. And, you know, I was understandably nervous. And so I ended up, just because I had heard Keith Harrell speak, who's, you know, just Mr. Super Fantastic guy, and, you know, I had just remembered this story he told about, you know, had a dream. So I that's how I broke through it. I told the audience, you know, I had this dream. I was a little nervous about it. I'm kind of new here. And as I told this little story very quick, then I said, you know, and in the dream, you were all standing and cheering for me wildly.
And oh, my gosh.
And I just like paused for a second, and then it's like everybody got it, and they just burst out laughing and started applauding, you know, clapping. And then I said, actually, it was a little bit louder than that, and they just went nuts.
Brilliant.
And it was great. And in that 2 minutes, it relieved me of my nervousness, and I got on with the show. And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting how both of us at the same moment were kind of thinking about that, because telling a story like that can help you kind of break through.
That is just what a great story, and how brilliant, and what great instincts that you knew not just to keep that one to yourself. Now, there's something that listeners can enjoy here that speakers do with each other. We scandalously borrow techniques from each other.
Sure.
And so I would never say, I had a dream this morning that blah, blah, blah. I might, Barb, with your permission, I might say, my colleague Barb once had a dream. Like, if I'm teaching presentation skills, I might share Barb's story.
Yeah,
and give Barb,
of course.
And certainly say, you know, my colleague Barb Giamanco had this experience. And so please know that sharing a story or a vulnerable moment can be wildly successful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's your take on, because I know sometimes people try to use humor, Gene. So what's your take on that?
Well, If one is speaking to a group of people from a different culture, and you're not really well versed in, you know, in working with that group and their specific cultural norms, telling a joke might actually miss its mark. They might not get it. Or they might take it wrong. It might be, you know, an innuendo that you didn't expect. So sometimes one needs to be pretty mindful about using humor. When it's a group that you know, a self-deprecating joke can be really delightful or charming, and it breaks the ice quite well. I do warn people against telling a joke that's not relevant. So just kind of, hi everybody, although you don't know me, I'm going to tell you a joke about bowling. People don't quite know what to make of it, so making sure that it's relevant is helpful. And if you're not a natural story or joke teller, it might be a good idea to practice in front of a colleague, like just say, I was thinking of putting this out there, what do you think? And if it's somebody you trust, really take their advice to heart.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. That can really fall flat if you're not careful, and so I really kind of caution people. I'm with you. If you can tell a funny story or something kind of crazy that happened to you personally, and it's sort of relevant to what's going on, you know, then that's probably has a much better chance, because I've unfortunately seen some people who thought they were being funny and it ended up really backfiring, and that's certainly not the impression I think you want to leave people
with.
Well, now I know you've worked in front of groups, 300 people or more. Do you still get nervous?
I do. In fact, especially with big groups like that, my heart starts going, and if there's somebody who is introducing me, I'll have some thoughts while I'm in the back waiting to go in the front, and I'll be like, oh, good goodness, golly boy, this is about to happen, here we go. Do your best, honey, here you go, sweetheart. All right, you're on. So these are still thoughts that come to me, and as you can tell, what I just, you know, kind of modeled for you is the words that I'm saying to myself. I'm trying to be my best cheerleader. I'm trying to be... have an inner voice within me that is comforting me and that has a good attitude about it and prepares me to go on. I think that nervousness is a key component to being a good speaker. And so if there's anybody out there who goes, I don't want to be nervous, I say that might be, I would ask you to rethink it. I would say that nervous energy, if you're feeling it, what that shows is that you really care about what you're doing. You care about what you're expressing, that it's meaningful to you. And underneath that nervousness, there might be some passion that is about to come out, that your audience is going to get a piece of, and that is precious.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And most good presentation companies, I know I've taken some courses from my friend Scott Weiss, who owns a speakeasy here in Atlanta. And, you know, they actually help you take that nervous energy and rechannel it in a way that really energizes that presentation. So I think it's important for people not to be afraid of it, as you said. Find ways to use that nervous energy to your advantage.
Yes, say to yourself, I'm nervous. You know, just say, ooh, I'm feeling that feeling. This is great. Ooh, this is great. I'm going to use this. And a friend of mine once suggested, when I told him, I'm really nervous right now, I'm really scared, he said, do you know what? I think there's a fine line between fear and nervousness and excitement. Maybe you can just say, instead of that you're nervous, that you're excited. Your hands are moving around or, you know, jittery, or you're feeling a cold sweat down your armpit because you're excited. And by just doing that, I've started to relabel it in my mind. And it's much more fun, to be honest, rather than it's something harrowing to get through. It's that I'm truly alive in this moment. It's happening. I'm here. And this is my moment.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Now, on that note then, there are a lot of folks who kind of, you know, recommend if you're nervous to imagine the audience in their underwear. I don't know. What do you think about that?
That has never worked for me. That, you know, I'm a pretty creative person, so I'll be like, well, what kind of underwear? That would distract me. Well, what would they wear? It just has never worked for me. I think I understand the spirit of it, and it's about remembering that this is a person who is as vulnerable as you. I've heard people also say, imagine them in the restroom. I mean, again, that doesn't quite fit for me, but I say this, if there's anybody listening, if that works for you, you keep that. Keep it and use it and with my blessing. It never actually works for me. I just try to, you know what helps me is feeling as prepared as I can be. That's what helps. So that might mean going over my PowerPoint. It might mean going over my main points. Certainly, I would say that it would mean practicing it out loud. There's nothing like practicing it out loud.
Well, I completely agree. I never was one to think about, you know, the underwear kind of thing. I never really got that. But what I do know, what I have always
yes.
believed is, I really do believe that most people in the audience are kind of pulling for you because there isn't really, you meet very few people on this planet who aren't nervous about some sort of public speaking. You know, they
yes.
still say that people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying, which is really kind of interesting.
Yes, yes, there's a joke about that. Jerry Seinfeld has a joke about that at a funeral, the guy giving the eulogy would prefer to be in the box.
Yeah,
isn't that perfect?
Now, that's funny. Yeah, because it's true. I think people really do get very nervous. So what I remember is that they're nervous too. You know, they're kind
yeah.
of like, ooh, I'm not up there. And I
yeah.
believe absolutely what you just said. The more you practice it, I
yeah.
script my presentations. I practice them in the mirror. I practice that. You know, I practice. I've had people who say to me, gosh, that just came off so natural. Did you just do that on the fly? No. And, you know, I find that the more that I'm prepared, the less nervous I am about that sort of stuff. Well, now, Jean, there's going to
yeah.
be some people on the line who probably have some interest, perhaps, in maybe doing
mm-hmm.
what you do, being a professional speaker mm-hmm. or leading mm-hmm. seminars. How do you recommend somebody get started if that's something that they're interested in?
What helped me immediately, once I knew I was going to be a trainer, which for me was, you know, my step towards, you know, being a keynoter, is to consider trying out a meeting at your local American Society for Training and Development, ASTD. If you're not near a local ASTD, go online to national, and there are now with technology, we can get webinars, we can join there are so many different ways to become involved remotely, just to get a sense of the business and the people in the business. If this is you and you think you might be a public speaker and you have perhaps a more extroverted personality, if you join ASTD, you will find yourself among friends. Like these, you're like, oh, these are my people. These are them. Another recommendation is to check out NSA, which is the National Speakers Association. Both of those groups are helpful for me. Can you still hear me now, Barb?
I sure can. You're doing just
fantastic.
Fine.
I wanted to double check. You know, there's another one too. If there are people who aren't really sure they want to be professional speakers, I always recommend to my groups Toastmasters. Are you familiar with Toastmasters, Barb?
Absolutely, and in fact, that's how I got started.
It is? Oh, I'd love to hear your experience with it.
Yeah,
were you
long time ago when I really
mm-hmm.
wanted to. I happen to be naturally extroverted. No, anyone who knows me knows that.
Mm-hmm, I could tell.
And I really enjoyed the idea of presenting, and I wanted to be very good at it. So it was recommended to me years ago and started with
yeah.
a Toastmasters group. I found it extremely helpful for getting practice, for being
yes.
able to learn how to avoid the common problems with you know, fidgeting, and then
yes.
from there I went on to more with the companies I work for, more formal training in how to be a speaker, and through the it's a lot of practice being videotaped and all that sort of thing.
Yes, ASTD has trained the trainer programs, and this taught me very formally how adults learn, the adult learning theory, that most adults do not want to be lectured at for a long amount of time. That's for one thing. So I've learned a lot of ways to mix it up, to make it very interesting, and to be a facilitator. That's a skill that I learned from ASTD. With Toastmasters in my groups, I always am promoting Toastmasters because there are always people who raise their hands saying they're uncomfortable speaking. And so when in the group I say, is anybody here a member of Toastmasters, and they are, this is what I say: would you please share with us for a minute about Toastmasters? And they stand up, turn towards the group completely extemporaneously, and they talk for a minute on Toastmasters, and we give them applause, and it's completely spontaneous. So it's very impressive to those who are watching because they know it just happened out of the blue.
Right. Yeah. Well, now, Gina, as we're coming to the close of the program, do you have any final tips or recommendations for people who have a presentation coming up and they're kind of nervous about it? What do you recommend?
Absolutely. The recommendation is to breathe. Now, I know everybody is breathing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on the line. You wouldn't be alive. I'm talking about conscious breathing. Some of us are so excited about our presentations that we rush through it. And that makes your audiences nervous, especially if they're seeing your face get red because they know your body's not getting enough oxygen. So even you can actually look at your audience and take a breath with them. Just yesterday I was presenting, and I could feel myself not breathing because I was nervous. I was nervous just as recently as yesterday. And I said, I was just talking about stress management. I said, friends, let's practice this right now. Take a breath with me. Tense your shoulders up. Relax with a sigh. Ah, they were so happy to be invited to take a breath.
That's a great tip. Now, if there's just one thing you want people to remember from the discussion that we've been having this morning, what would it be?
It would be that if this is tickling your interest, please, please make a commitment today that you'll take one action towards this interest of yours, whether it's calling Toastmasters that's local to you, or going online and looking up ASCD, or speaking to your boss about presenting at the next team meeting. Please make a commitment so that you can take a step forward. I believe public speaking is a self-esteem enhancing skill. So give yourself that gift.
Awesome. Well, as we start to wrap up the program then, how do people reach out to you so they can learn more about your services, Jean, and find out what's on the horizon and where you're speaking and so on?
Thank you so much. I have a website, which is jeanfransblau.com, and that's J-E-A-N as in Nancy. That's just like your pants. And Fransblau is F as in Frank, R A N as in Nancy, Z as in Zebra, B as in Blue, LAU.com. And similarly, I can be reached at jean@jeanfransblau.com. I've got a blog where I have a section called about the speaker circuit. So I talk about being a speaker and adventures on the road, being a road warrior out there. And so you'll find good information there, too. It's a lot of fun.
Well, fantastic. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day because, you know, I'm running the show live from Atlanta on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast, so you really made a commitment this morning to join in and share your knowledge and expertise, and I appreciate it very much.
It was my pleasure. This was so much fun. Talk about starting my day on the right foot. This was a joy.
Well, thank you for that. It's always my pleasure to interview such wonderful guests, and I want to thank you again for being my guest expert today. For all of you listening this morning, I've been talking with Jean Fransblau. You can reach her at www.jeanfransblau.com and check out all that she has to offer. And don't forget, she's got a blog that will help you learn more about what it's like to be a speaker road warrior. So check her out at jeanfransblau.com. We've been talking about power presenting. As you know, every month we've got all kinds of great programs to help you enhance your business skills. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be talking with my expert guest about the inner game of sale. So I want to make sure that you join in on that program. You can visit www.talentbuildersinc.com for the radio schedule. I want to thank everybody for joining this morning. I'm Barb Giamanco, hosting the program live from Atlanta, Georgia. And do check out our programs and services, again, talentbuildersinc.com. Would love to have you encourage your friends and your colleagues to tune into the program. And by the way, even if they didn't hear it live today, the broadcast is always available on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/talentbuildersradio. Thank you very much for joining me, and thanks for listening in on an amazing interview with Jean Fransblau about the power of presenting. Until next time, have an amazing day.